Hello all, this is Blonde Haired Girl. I just wanted to do a little check-in. I haven't posted in a while, and I noticed that my last podcast having to do with Taylor Swift was not very popular. Like, not that I'm getting millions of views, I'm being facetious. And any of them, but I was really surprised because I thought that one was a really good podcast. I had done a whole, I don't know, 40 minutes on why I believe she's a good influence in the world, and why I think it was good that she was person of the year for Time Magazine, and having given it a little bit of thought of why it was not wildly popular on my podcasting, I perhaps people feel like it was trite, or of all the people that could have been chosen, Taylor Swift seems like a strange choice, right? Person of the year. With all that is going on in the world, you know, why this person who's just in the entertainment industry, you know, why? But I really do stand by that I feel like she is an incredible human being and deserving. And so there. So recently I was hanging out with my son. It was actually over Thanksgiving. He was driving me from one city to another, and he said something to me that was actually a little bit, it was so interesting to me. He said, "Mom, I don't know that. I don't know that our lives are really always meant to be happy." He just has a different take on it than I do. And I was very curious about that. Just his almost contentment with the idea that he wasn't always going to be happy. He is a very interesting person to me. I wasn't expecting him. He was like truly an unexpected love child. Like I had dated his dad for a while, but we weren't married when I had him. I'm a scandalous woman. his dad and I did get married later, but we were not married when we had him. And he just was just the bounciest, cutest, sweetest little baby. I mean, he was so physically beautiful, this child. And he had apparently his parents, I always like make jokes about pushing this off on my mate, whoever my mate was at the time, that it well surely it was them, not me. But clearly I have ADHD as well as his dad. But his dad really, I mean, it was so apparent that he had a really hard time settling, as in his dad. He couldn't go to sleep without the television on and the television would be on all night long, and then he would put it on a timer and it would eventually turn off. And then every time I woke up, he was gone, because he would go in the other room and turn on the television set to go back to sleep. And so he would be like, we had this room off of our room, like an office room, and he would go in that room and watch TV. And it was so interesting, because he, like, from the time he woke up in the morning, he was like this light bulb, and he just turned on, and he just would be going and going and going. He'd be out gardening. He was a busy, busy, busy bee. I wasn't nearly as busy as he was. I mean, I had my stuff that I was doing all the time, but not nearly to the extent that he was. But it was pretty apparent that our child had, you know, I used to have the teacher, you know, chase me out to the parking lot and try to talk to me about medication for him. You know, that he needs to be medicated because he is really having a hard time. And I took that advice, but did not medicate him. I just opted not to. And his dad did this really brilliant thing and put him into sports. So he was in sports from the time he was pretty young. His dad, he tried baseball. His dad made him do baseball. I think he hated baseball. There's nothing like making your child do a sport that they hate. Although there was this one time, oh my God, there was this one time that we were at this Little League championship game, and the coach egged him on to something. Like, the coach told him to steal these bases, and my son ended up stealing these bases and running into home run, and he won the game. And for some reason, like, the coach just trusted him, and he did. We won the game, and my son just went running off the field and, like, running into, like, the back part of the, and we're, like, chasing after him. Are you okay? And he's, like, he was just so happy. Anyway, so he was a pretty good little baseball player. And then he did, like, one, I don't even think it was an entire season. I don't remember how this went down, but a football, and then that was done. And then my son said, you know, I want to do soccer. And so he had a propensity for soccer and went all the way through club soccer. I mean, it went from one very short season of, you know, your soccer AYSO kind of thing to traveling to club soccer. And it was really weird in this grouping of people with his club soccer, how, like, we decided to, I called it defect. Is that the word? My brain isn't working right now. It's like 2 a.m. Defect. Like, when you leave a country. And it was very unpopular. I mean, they were really upset that we took our child off of that team and put him on a different team. What had happened was my son was on the middle school team, and I noticed that the best players in the league were on this other club team. I was like, so we went and tried out, and he made that team, and it was a really good decision for us. So he did that, and then high school, and he ended up his senior year, the year that he told me, I don't want to play soccer anymore, Mom. And I was just like, I'm sorry, son, but you have to. I had never done anything like this in his life. I mean, I honestly, I left him probably to too many decisions, had too much faith in him to make decisions for himself. But I was just like, it was the first time I ever like put my foot down. And I'm just like, you can't quit this year. I'm sorry. And I ended up getting like Defender of the Year for the region. And he also got the coach who was, in a way, I felt like his coach made him pay because it was the same coach that he defected from years earlier. And I feel like this coach really had it in for my child because we made that decision for him. But he ended up in the end having my son as one of the, I can't think of the word right now. I really can't think of it. Anyway, it was a really significant role for him. Captain. He was one of the captains of the high school team, and they did go to state and ended up getting beat in a game that they should not have gotten beat. I don't know what happened. The kids just got really nervous and they couldn't score. It wasn't like it was a better team. It was clear that we were a better team, but we just could not score for some reason. And it was heartbreaking. And it was really fun because all of these soccer families were together again, from all these different teams were together again with their kids, you know, on this team. And so all of us were crying. It was really sad, but he just did. And he was the spirit. He won the spirit award. Because he was just the spirit of the team. He really led them to being so good that year. He was part of that. Anyway, so he goes off to college. And but I really feel like his sports was just enough to keep his ADHD in check. And he was a really busy young man. Between that, and he made straight A's all through high school and middle school. So for, 7 years, he did not make a single B. And I did not do that for him. He is a very competitive young man, and it's just his personality. He just... It was really funny. I was trying to get him into this high school once, this special high school. And I'm writing this application. I'm like, he has the most amazing resume. This kid who's like, you know, 13 years old. And I mean, his resume, he really, part of it was just that he was just lucky to have, you know, a dad in particular who had the money to support his success, but also just his own wherewithal and strength to pull it off. I mean, but anyway, so he tells me this thing with just, and I don't know, he's so calm. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about this because this has been a thing for me my entire life. Since I can remember that I have had this desire, I guess, for happiness. You know, and like sometimes I'll be talking to people and they'll, you know, oh, you know, I just want contentment. And I don't really see a difference between really, I mean, they're slightly different, but for me, lightheartedness, like happiness and lightheartedness and trust and just having a smile. I don't know. I just feel like there's a bit of a difference, and I'm somewhat unapologetic. And the reason why I say that is because my mother used to, you know, always tell me, you know, you're only entitled to the pursuit of happiness. And I thought, well, what is the point? What is the point of the pursuit of happiness if I can't indeed be happy? And it's not that I haven't had happy moments in my life, but it's like I don't want to live like that anymore, between happy moment to happy moment to happy moment, you know, and just this space between the happy moments. It's like I don't want to live that way. I want to. And so I feel like at this moment, I feel like I am happier generally than I ever have been in my life. I really do. I spend a good deal of my time happy. Right at the moment, and in the last couple days, I have had a dip in my happiness that has been, that I've tried to analyze, like, what is that? Why am I not as happy as I was 2 days ago? And it does seem to have to do with, I have things at work right now that are really pressing on me. And being behind on my paperwork, I came into the week behind on my paperwork, and, hopefully today that'll be over and the paperwork, some of the paperwork will be done. And then I have other paperwork I have to do. And like situational things that happened at work last week that I was incredibly what they would call stressed out. And being able to deal with stress. Like I came into work yesterday and I was sitting there and I was thinking about people who were in really high power type of positions, people with a whole bunch of responsibility, you know, and I'm not even talking being put on them from outside of themselves, but like being put on them from their own desire for something great in their life, the CEO of their own life, you know, thinking somewhat like, say, of just a person like Taylor Swift and having an incredible amount of responsibility at it, from her own career. And like this tour that she did, and then like she partnered up with this movie theater chain and put out her movie about her so that more people could see her concert. So, which is genius if you think about it. But the amount of pressure and being able to handle that and negativity, you know, like I was watching on social media that they were talking about, she went to one of her boyfriend's football games and she got booed. And I guess there must have been a whole lot of conservative people because there is this huge backlash on her from these conservative people that are like, she's not the, you know, they're just mad at her influence. But, which makes me sad in a way, so mean. She's a poet, she's a musician, and there's nothing wrong with her music. Like, people making their commentaries, and then these people's commentaries somehow become truth about everything. I don't understand it. But anyway, so I was just thinking about myself going into work yesterday, and I was really stressed, like first thing in the morning. And part of that is that I have like my job, and then I have other stuff going on in my life. And also still taking care of my oldest son. And I've been getting stuff done for him recently. I really have. I've made a special effort to get some things done for him. And one of them was, he can't just go to any dentist because his insurance, you know. And so we found him this dentist, and then, but it was getting him to the dentist because he can't, it's too far away for him to walk. So I knew that his insurance had like medical transport. So we called the insurance company like last week and found the number, yada, yada. So my son takes initiative and makes a dental appointment on the next day. So it was supposed to be today. So we go to call. Oh, that's great. So we go to call and they say you have to have 72 hours before. So you have to have 3 days before. So I felt like it was pointless and so he had to change the appointment, you know. And I'm sitting on the phone and it's just like one of the biggest things that I do not like doing is redoing. Like, it's like once I get that done, I really like to check it off. And at my work and in my life, I just find that I'm redoing stuff all the time. That this isn't done right. That isn't done right. I have to redo. I have to resubmit this. Have to re-file that. And I amended this. And then write why I amended that. I don't know. My brain is just... my brain is just sometimes exploding. Like, I don't know that I'm ever going to do anything perfectly, ever. The some of the work that I do, it does not leave is room for mistakes. And I don't believe that I will be able to do it perfectly. I think I'm going to make mistakes all the time, and I feel like it makes me look incompetent, and I get really tired of it. And it may be the demise of me in this, you know. I've promised myself I'm going to stay at this position for a year, like come hell or high water. That is my goal, and I don't know if I'll make it, but that's what my goal is. And, but anyway, and then I have something going on in my personal life that I am working on, and like in my other gig, Blonde Hair Girl. So I'm working on something else, and like something came, like I had to do something yesterday and with this and that. And then I drove someone home and I forgot something at work that I had to go home and get. I mean, it's just, so I get in late, have dinner, and then it's like I'm falling into bed, you know, really early. And I'm sitting there and I'm, okay, so am I happy? Am I happy? Like, just asking myself. And so along with my, you know, am I happy phrase, what do I have to do to be happy? What do I have to change about myself or about my life? Or what needs to change for me to be happy? What can I do right now in this moment that would bring joy to me? You know, would it be for me to start painting? Would it be what do I need to feel happy? Because it is important to me. And I truly do not know if we ever would come to a moment like where we are happy all of the time. I mean, I think my son is right to a degree. I don't know that there would ever be a time or there's ever a human being who is happy every second of every day. But I do believe that we can be happier and that we can be happy more of the time, which I believe the goal, that is the goal. I don't have it in front of me right now. I actually left it on my desk at work. I ended up bringing from home this book called Letting Go by David Hawkins, The Pathway to Surrender. And in this book, actually there are parts of it that are really funny to me. And he talks a lot about the scale of consciousness. He seemed to have it's in his work a lot. I think that he started out power versus force. And he started out introducing this kinesthesiology and this idea that you can tell the truth of something by muscle testing. There may be other ways, but this is the way I remember him talking about it. And as you go up the scale of consciousness, you have different experiences in life. And he basically talks about all of these and he tries not to use the word level, but this is where I get, because he flipped it on his side, or maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was Thich Nhat Hanh Tay that I had been introduced to this idea but I don't think so. I think it was David Hawkins. They're like degrees on a thermometer. And we want to say that one is better than the other. And I feel like we have this desire for this moral hierarchy. Even it's so popular in social media now to say, you know, raise your vibration. You know, it's all about raising your vibes and how to raise your vibes. And when you raise your vibes, you can have your manifestations come true. Almost to ridiculous amounts. I'm so tired of this. I really do. And in just being around people, you know, and I've had people say things to me that I don't know. I find it really nauseating. If you hang with me, you too will raise your vibration. I don't know. I just can't with all of it. And this goes back to me studying David Hawkins. It was not my focus. It was David Hawkins' focus. So it's all through his book. He talks about these places, I'm going to say, these vibrational places and the manifestation of those spaces, as in if you're in anger, you're going to be feeling different sensations in your body than if you're in joy. And so, but I feel like I don't think I'm alone. I think this is just being human. I, on a given day, I'm moving around that scale. I can be in despair in a moment. I can literally be in despair in one moment and then enjoy in the next. So I have this opportunity. I'm part of this and very glad to be part of an organization where I get to participate in a meditation every month. And I did the meditation on Sunday, and which could be, this could be part of the reason why I'm not as happy. This could be this, it was a marked moment for me. Like I went into this meditation and almost immediately I was in utter despair about what's going on in Gaza. I started to, and I don't know, I just feel the despair, like what do you say to these people? They're like 15,000 or more are dead, and they were a good percentage of those were women and children. And I just heard these rumors. I mean, because it's hard to know exactly what's going on over there because it's chaos. And there is so much what I believe to be misinformation. And our country, the United States, has just really drawn a line in the sand, and they're with Israel. Like and I think, although I will say that I feel like Americans in particular have very short memories. And the reason why I say that is because the news cycle changes so quickly. So it's on Israel right now, but just like tomorrow, the next catastrophe happens. I mean, like it seems like yesterday we were talking about Iran. And the Ukraine, so we go through these, like, we're focused on this, then we don't focus on that anymore. We don't know what's going on there because we've moved news cycles. And so right now, the news cycle is on Israel and God and the Palestinian people. And and Biden has really been with Netanyahu, who, if you do any research on this guy, he is corrupt. Like, he is not on the up and up. And there has been reports that the Israelis have been giving money to Hamas, that they knew about the attack on August 7th, and they allowed it to happen to get themselves into this war, and they really just want their land. They really want the Palestinians gone so that they can take their land. It's like manifest destiny. And I mean, it looks to me very, very much like a genocide from what I'm seeing. And so how do you say to the Palestinian, like, how do they regrow? How do they come back from this? I mean, it looks to me, especially with the United States, but here's the thing, there are other countries that are not with Israel. There's countries that, that are not with them. Like, they've got Iran and I think Russia, you know, are with the Palestinians. I don't know all the details because I really know nothing about what's really going on, except that just what I see. And what is not being wildly reported on the news. Like, and I don't watch the news, but like, and when you talk to people, you know, it's like we get our heels dug in to an idea. And I could say the same thing about myself. Like, from what I'm seeing, it looks like a genocide. It looks to me like the Israelis, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it looks like the Israelis just want their land and just want them gone. And so this is just one way to have them gone. I mean, I saw, and I think it's true, that they actually accidentally shot three of their own Israeli hostage people that were these three men that were held hostages. And they had let them go, and then they shot their own men, three of them. They had their hands up in the air. And I suppose it's like you don't know what's going on. I guess people do this kind of thing and they can have weapons in their pockets or whatever. I don't know. It's just very sad is what I'm trying to say. And I just felt this incredible amount of despair. And I haven't bounced back. It's like I don't know that we do other people any good by becoming distraught on their behalf. I don't know that, you know, I remember Abraham Hicks kind of saying this, like, me getting sick doesn't make another person well. And it's true. The best thing that I can do is to keep the trust and belief that somehow, something good is going to come out of this. I don't know what it's going to be. But it's like, I just felt like, what do you say to them? Like, what do you say when your entire world is in just rubble? You know, and then I unfortunately am like making this, you know, like the Native Americans here in the U.S. It's like I'm very anti-government right now. I'm very disappointed in Biden for his stand on this. Very disappointed. And there's, I suppose that there's a lot of pressure that I don't know anything about on politicians that I don't understand and don't know anything about. You know, like this newest thing, if you say anything against the government of Israel and what they're doing in Palestine, it's anti-Semitism. You're not allowed to say anything negative about what's happening. And it looks a whole lot like equal to perspectively to other atrocities that have happened in the world. That's all I'm saying. And so what do? Do you, and this affects my happiness, I suppose. Like, how do I keep up, you know, something that there is nothing I can do about with the exception of going into a meditative state and attempting to change that vibe, you know, the possibly change the vibration over there, which is what I do. And I don't know. I mean, it is kind of weird when you don't see the direct effects of your meditative efforts. Like, do we, you know, can we like sit in front of an animal, start to, you know, like dying flower, start to meditate and it comes back to life? I'm just kidding. But I mean, like, really, we don't necessarily see the direct. I mean, I guess, suppose sometimes we can. the research. But anyway, I'm going to get off. I'm going to stop. I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.